This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
That's right. It is all about you here on this Monday afternoon. Great to have you with us. Hope you had a good weekend and got a little time to yourself to do what made you happy, made you feel good. Now you can tell us what's been bugging you, or we can tell us what makes you feel good, what makes you happy. Anything goes here on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. Or you can text us at that same phone number, 360-676-5464. I'll open up my texting window. But once again, whatever is on your mind, we do want to hear from you. And as I said, you can text, but it's always, like to have you call, and then we can have a conversation about what is on your mind. But we'll waste no time whatsoever. Let's get right to it here on KGMI Connects. And Joe in Bellingham gets us started here on this Monday. Hi, Joe. Oh, sorry. My bad. I needed to push one more button. Now you're on the air, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi. There's the part in the Bible where Jesus says, "You may hear of wars and rumors of war, but be not concerned, for these things must come to pass." I wonder if that's some kind of racket, you know, because war has been a money-making thing from the get-go, and I want to be a Christian, but I have a hard time. Some of the things it says in the Bible, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to wonder about war, because it has been ever present, I guess, among human beings, and I think about this too. Is it something that we'll just always experience as a species? Will we always find a reason to go to war with each other? Is it just a natural part of our being, or is it something that we could eventually, one of our callers says, we'll eventually eradicate that. Well, there will be no more wars. But is that possible? Is that practical?
I hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. I had a friend of mine. He's no longer lives here in Bellingham, but did for a long time. And he was a former Marine and served and then worked with Border Patrol and Homeland Security for a long time, and was a great guy, or is a great guy, still with us, but not here in our community. But he had a bumper sticker on his truck that said something to the effect, I'm kind of paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly it, but something to the effect of warriors make pacifism possible for pacifists. And okay, I get that. Warriors are willing to go and fight and to tamp down threats and restore the peace to a degree. But could it also be the other way around, that pacifists are held hostage to a degree by warriors, by people who see the necessity or sense the necessity of warfare? And
we got to stop it, because if we don't, we're all going to get nuked.
Well, yeah, and that's the final verdict on the whole thing, that we do create weapons. You got to think that even if all the, we fired a bunch of nuclear weapons, most human beings would perish, but would enough survive to, keep the race going? And I mean, but then would they be able to avoid warfare in the future? Probably not. I don't know. I that's an interesting discussion. A thought starter for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. So yeah, kind of a heavy topic, but when we see what's happening, because in the Middle East with Israel, Hamas, now and Iran, obviously directly involved in this whole situation, which they've been involved to one degree, most likely indirectly by supporting Hamas and some of the other players in that region, But at the same time, you know, I was thinking as I was reading about Iran retaliating for Israel's airstrike that killed its generals in Syria, Israel's been doing this for quite some time, like launching attacks. You know, we hear about nuclear scientists within the borders of Iran being assassinated or being killed on the streets and blown up or shot or that sort of thing, and a sabotage done to Iran's nuclear program. And I'm not faulting Israel on this. Iran has expressed its desire for Israel to be eliminated. But Israel obviously has pursued this active covert war against Iran for some time. Just some thoughts to get us rolling here on this Monday. Let's go to Jim in Bellingham. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Gore Vidal and Richard Wolff.
Okay.
Richard Wolff has an article in Counterpunch for those who still aren't too depressed to actually continue on. You can look at him. Co-ops is what he advocates.
Why are we too depressed to continue to carry on? What do you mean? What we've been talking about?
That's the second part of my discussion, if you'll allow me the time. It's a brief paragraph or so from Gore Vidal. I did want to have Richard Wolff, Counterpunch, it's a .org, it's a website. He talks about co-ops as his form of socialism. He's a pretty smart guy. He's been advocating it. So you can go for it, or I'll let you in. But let's quote from Gore Vidal, Gods and Greens. This is very relevant. But let us anticipate the perils. After 2,000 years of history, it is fairly evident that once the few have total charge of the many, they will forget to preserve the environment, and we shall perish as slaves rather than as what we are now, demi-slaves. It is not wise ever to be optimistic when it comes to the human race. Okay. Prometheus stole fire from heaven so that we could cook not only dinner, but one another. We create, we destroy, and so forth. Okay. And then he says that, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This last sentence everyone knows in the West as the words of Jesus. But 500 years before Jesus, Confucius said exactly the same thing. I suggest that those who create opinion must address themselves and us, their victims, to a new way of looking at life, to a new religious sense that differs drastically from the truly terrible religions.
I don't want you to just read the words of others. I'd rather hear your take on it. That's what we're doing. We're not. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to.
I know that, if someone says something in a good manner, I think you should allow. I think you allow other callers.
You're the only one who really reads stuff, but I mean.
Well, there's a few that come on with passages, and it's biblical, so I thought I'd counteract them.
Okay. A quick pass.
Always invoke Randall Terry, who says, Not if, but when we take over as a Christian nation, a wave of intolerance will come over you. And so, therefore, I say, to finish my quote, monotheism is easily the greatest disaster to befall the human race. By nature, the sky god is totalitarian. You will have no other god but he. You will kill those who refuse to worship him. And you are free to destroy the earth because he has instructed us to be fruitful and multiply and all that other stuff. I'm going to try to be firm on my ability to read passages. I already told you about Richard Wolff, and that wasn't something I read, even though I'm recommending it as a
recommend that people go and read it, but give us a paraphrase what you've read and kind of just relate it to us. I think that's a better way.
Except you missed the cadence and the wit of Gore Vidal. I think we should take a survey.
Okay.
We should take a survey, ask all your callers and people to chime in on the website and say, do you like Gore Vidal? I can't sell you a book from his and so if you like hearing things that, you know, paragraphs out of this or that, you could vote for it. And then if you get overwhelming against, then I'll have to try some other tech.
Okay. But I think you do a pretty good job in selling Gore Vidal and some of these other
and Michael Parenti. Michael Parenti, I'm sad to note that Michael Parenti is experiencing extreme dementia. I hate to say that. But he gave of himself, and he's got many good quotes.
Okay.
And so,
all right.
Anyway, thanks for letting me on, and we'll wait for your survey.
All right, Jim. Sounds good. Okay, thanks for your call. Let's see, real quick before we take a break, Francis in the Southern Gulf Islands, our Francis.
Hi, Joe.
You got some thoughts on politics today?
Yeah, I just want to lay it out to Jim.
Okay.
Jim, here's the situation.
Okay.
Here's all you need to know. Do you listen to the Beatles? You know the song? If you go around carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, he ain't going to make it with anyone, Hal. No, Hal.
Yep, okay.
I have stage fright, so I jumble my words a little bit there.
That's
but
all right.
Really,
I think we
Jim,
all got it. The, you know, part of the lyric to Revolution.
Gorbadal and Noam Chomsky have no sex appeal whatsoever. They're like gooey duck clams, and that's why no one wants to listen.
Like gooey duck clams, huh? Okay.
You ever seen one up close?
Yeah, they're not terribly appetizing. Kind of frightening,
okay.
Yeah.
That's my bit for today.
All right. Thanks, Francis. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. There we go. Let's see. Well, let's take a break before we continue here. I think that's a good spot to kind of reconnoiter. Pull our thoughts back together, and we'll continue in just a moment. We got Jack and Robert on the line, and hopefully hear from you too. 360-676-5464.
You've earned your retirement, and you're ready to fully embrace it. So why not do it with style at Meadow Greens Retirement? You'll enjoy active, independent living with amenities like the library lounge, wellness program, and expansive social calendar. Indulge in 3 daily meals made from scratch, get pampered at the on-site salon, and join in for Friday night socials. Meadow Greens is active retirement, the only locally owned retirement facility in the county, with 1 and 2 bedroom apartments with full kitchens offering the freedom of eating in or enjoying a meal at the Outward 9 or the Duck Hook Bistro. Meadow Greens can also be of help when it's time to transition from an independent apartment to assisted living.
Hi, I'm Josh Howe, director here at Meadow Greens. I'd like to personally invite you to come to our community. I look forward to showing you all that we have to offer. Call Meadow Greens today to arrange a private tour at 354-8200 and online at meadowgreenslinden.com. The grass is always greener at Meadow Greens.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have 4 keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all 4 every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
Get informed and inspired with Saturday Morning Live on KGMI. Join a group of knowledgeable hosts as they present a variety of guests and viewpoints on issues important to our area and to you and your family. Sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, each Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Monday afternoon. Let's go to Jack in Seattle. Hi, Jack.
Hello there, sir.
Hello there.
Hey, sorry about the garbage truck that just went by.
That's all right.
The, real quick, Gore Vidal. Net worth at death was like $30 million. This Michael Ferenczi guy that Jim always talks about, his net worth somewhere around $8 million.
Okay.
They're posers.
Well, now, now someone can't speak about inequity poverty if they're wealthy.
Cannot.
Well, then, why not? I mean,
they have to be poor themselves. They have to give it all away.
Well, how is that? How does that? So,
if you're not a true believer, you're not a true believer.
But they're not saying that everybody has to give it away. I mean, we've got many millionaires and billionaires who say, tax me more. But
they're not. They're saying change the law, but they put everything in trust, so they never get taxed. Anyhow, okay. That's not why I called.
All right. Okay.
Why I called was you quoted that bumper sticker that says, warriors make pacifists possible.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, since World War II, it's been all banksters that makes more warriors. We're mercenaries in this country, anyhow.
Yeah,
we're just mercenaries to the banksters and the big corporate entities. Before he went bat crap crazy, Tom Hartman used to have real good statements on that kind of stuff. But now all he is a paid shill for something else.
I haven't listened to Tom Hartman for a long time. For people who don't know, he's a progressive talk show host. But I mean, what you say, there's a lot of truth to it. I mean, we do go to war to support wealthy interests, and there's always that class that decides, okay, it's time to go to war. The ones that make that decision aren't the ones that go off to war.
If we found oil or resources in Africa,
I'm losing you, Jack.
If we would have found natural resources in Rwanda, we would have ended the genocide that took the lives of almost 20 million.
Well, we would have, taken it over to one degree or another. But there is resource there's oil, there's diamonds, and we found ways to exploit that in some different African nations. But all right, Britt, Jack, appreciate your call. Let's go to Robert in Bellingham's been holding on. Hi, Robert.
Hello. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll quote some famous people, and that's the Beatles, where they sang, "All we need is love, all we need is love." Now I'm thinking about religion. I tend to believe in very liberal religion, very tolerant, open-minded, that's pro-diversity of thinking and gay rights and other things, a pluralistic society, civil society, and civil discussion and open-mindedness. Because I think as soon as we try and define too rigidly what we think God wants, it's our own agenda. And I think war often comes from fundamentalism. You got fundamentalist Islam that hate each other, but there are open-minded Islamic people too. It's just that they don't get the press. Within Christianity, you have liberals, and then you have those who want to kill each other. And sometimes I think, people worry about abortion or something like that, but they think nothing of, turning people away from, if people need refugee status or something like that, just send them back and let the gangs kill them, or let's go to war and kill them. And I think we need more of a loving, tolerant, open-minded religion and more compassion. And there are religious people that are open-minded, but they're also fundamentalists that just say, this is the law, this is my belief, this is what God commands. And when people start talking that way, regardless of what religion it is, I get very nervous.
What you said at the beginning of your call is very true, that it's the extremists that get the press, that get noticed, that get reported on, the ones that carry out awful things against people. I mean, within Islam, I mean, obviously there are sects that attack each other. The majority of Muslims, the vast majority, they don't want to have anything to do with that. But it's the extremists that carry out these awful acts that get all the attention. And I mean, in other ways too. I mean, you look at the wars that, you know, the war that ravaged Northern Ireland for years, and you know, Protestants against Catholics. Well, it was by and large a political struggle, but it was, you know, it was framed as Protestants against Catholics, like a religious struggle. And you know, most Northern Ireland residents, they just wanted to go about their day safely and happily, and you know, not have things blowing up in the streets and that sort of thing. But then you had this this, you know, class that felt that that's what they were going to do, what they felt they needed to do. And so it, you know, it's terribly unfair to the vast majority of us, but
we're
subjected to that. But
open-mindedness, and I think we need more tolerance in this world, and I think most people probably want to find middle ground. And even like, you know, in some ways, Israel, to some extent, has been a pluralistic society with freedom of speech and so forth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think Netanyahu has maybe pushed it too far to the right, and then has pushed back against it. So I'd like to see more moderation. Mm-hmm. And I also think having a state based on religion may be problematic, like Iran, of course, based on religion. Israel was started that way, but I would like to see a state more like U.S. or Canada, mm-hmm. where you know, where it's open-minded and people from Islam, Jew, Christianity, all these other Native American or whatever, where people can have a good discussion rather than a war, and nobody claims to be absolute. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. We're all learning from one another, and that's the way we need to think, I think.
Right. All right, Robert, thanks for your thoughts. Let's see. Before we take a break, let's go to Jim in Bellingham. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, very good.
Hey, so on this war thing, you know, it's gone on for, you know, cavemen. I mean, they found a reason to kill each other with rocks.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if it'll ever end. It's, you know, we always seem to find a reason to, be it support somebody, you know, stand up for the weaker guy. You know, in this instance, you got people praising Palestine, and you know, which you know, they have the right to do that. But you know, Palestine didn't do a nice thing. Mm-hmm. You know, but some of these people that are standing up for Palestine, if they actually went to Gaza or some of these other countries, that, you know, be them gay or trans, whatever, they'd literally be killed. They'd throw them off buildings. So they're standing up for something that is the opposite of what they believe. If that, I guess that makes sense or not. But with war, it's like, you know, and it's not just that. It's gone on forever, mm-hmm. forever. There's always, you know, you have little times of peace, but there's always just, they find a way, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about, I mean, think about Europe and the agony and Europe was, you know, basically destroyed by World War One. And what, like two decades later, all of a sudden it's in an even worse war. And and Germany how did that happen? I mean, how are they? So,
well, I don't know. You know, when you take a guy like Hitler and these dictators that cause these things, so and government, of course, the same type of thing, be it money, be it oil, be it whatever, no matter what it is in war at any time, it's always the innocents that suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, a soldier is a soldier, and he knows, you know, I'm a veteran. I wasn't in during a war, but if there'd have been one, I would have went. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had to go, I would have went and, you know, given it my all and sacrificed if needed be. But it's the innocents, the kids, and it's this and it's that, and it's that. It really is.
It is, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your thoughts, Jim.
Oh, no worries. Love your show, man.
Thanks. And we'll take a quick break. Be back with more. We got Rich and Tim, and hopefully we'll hear from you, too, here on KGMI Connects. Whatever's on your mind, 360-676-5464.
Hi, I'm Tom Borthwick, the Diamond King. The internet guy says all the girls his friends know send them a picture of the exact ring wanted. I'm here to tell you that we carry virtually every style of engagement ring, over 200 in stock, over 200 semi-mounts in stock, over 200 loose certified diamonds in stock. She doesn't need that exact ring, Internet guy. She needs a ring that looks exactly like it from Borthwick Jewelry. With a warranty, Borthwick Jewelry takes care of you, and if you have any problem, they're there. Shop at Borthwick Jewelry in Ferndale.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-948-7878. That's 800-948-7878. 800-948-7878.
You've got questions about your car or truck? And we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Monday. We go to Rich in Ferndale. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing well. What's on your mind here?
Robert was talking about compromise and middle ground, but you can't do that with everything. You can't compromise with genocide like Hitler in World War II. That is the necessity for war. War becomes necessary when evil is being done and good people have to stop it with force. If we compromised with everything in life, we would have a disgusting world where so-and-so is allowed to kill this many because we compromised with them, or criminals are allowed to steal X amount of things because we're compromising. So it's so nice to say, but it doesn't work out in many things. And war becomes necessary. It's mm-hmm. not great, but unless when good people do nothing, that's when evil wins.
Yeah.
And we see that mm-hmm. all throughout history. You know, these warlords and horrible regimes, they would never stop unless someone decided to stop them, unless good people decided to take the risk and sacrifice and stop horrible things. Horrible things will happen all the time if there's no consequence or no one to stop it or no deterrent. Evil
yeah.
is just, it's around, it's out there, it's roaming around trying to do its evil stuff, and you have to work against it.
And I think that's why I hold out little hope that we will ever see a world or a human universe that doesn't include war, where war doesn't occur.
Some, yeah.
occur. Yeah, and yeah, like you say,
want less.
I mean, with a figure like Hitler, obviously he had to convince a lot of people to go along with him. That's what I was like with our last caller talking about, Europe in the last century. I mean, here the devastation of World War I wasn't enough to, and it was the war to end all wars. And then what? Just two decades later, they're back into it, and we had Hitler, who was able to mobilize and energize enough of his population to to once again get back into
that. But it's how he did it. He did it through lies and corrupt news. Most of the Germans didn't know there were concentration camps and the killing was going on. It was propaganda, state-run media. So many things happen when the truth is not known. That's why a free press is so important to the world, to expose atrocities that go on so that good people will rise to do something about
it. But I mean, there weren't, but you know, when he invaded Poland and when the war actually started, there weren't concentration camps yet. They hadn't begun that at that point. But
it's no big deal. We'll stay out of it. And it got worse and it got worse. Yeah. And then in 1941, we had the Pearl Harbor where we got caught with our pants down. And I fear another Pearl Harbor type event could be coming because we have so many little skirmishes around the world now. That, it, like, say, Kim Jong-un or some other psycho dictator could decide to do something to us, and we're busy in the Middle East and we're busy in Ukraine. And, you know, I think we're in a very dangerous time right now in the world, and people should not take for granted that we have peace and security here because anything can happen. I mean, things are happening the last couple of years that we haven't seen in decades.
I don't know that the world's any more dangerous today than it was, 10 years ago, 20 years ago or more. I think it's always been a pretty dangerous place.
It's more dangerous now, and 99 out of 100 people know that, and anybody who's smart knows that, Joe.
I'm a dummy. All right, Rich. Thanks. Let's go to Ed over on Samish Island. Hi, Ed. Or down on Samish Island, or whatever your perspective might be, I guess.
On Samish Island.
Okay.
You're sure you want to go to me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
Okay. How about this idea?
Okay.
Don't return evil for evil. I know people believe in war. Oh, my God, they believe in war. But I saw something when I was young. I saw an anti-war movement. People weren't going to go thousands of miles away and drop bombs and napalm on other people who lived in grass huts. They just weren't going to do it. And I'll tell you something. I would never do that. No capitalist, no banker, no politician, no priest could ever make me do that. How do you like them, Apple?
So is there any conflict that you think, if you were capable, I don't know
capable.
But is there any type of conflict where you would feel like you would take up arms, that you would go, you would go to the recruiting office or you'd go along with a draft?
I might be willing to kill combatants only combatants, if they invaded our country. Maybe that.
Okay. All right.
And another thing. I love your caller, Jim. I love it. But you don't have to quote Parenti or Vidal or anyone. You know, he knows what he's talking about. He can just say it himself.
Yeah, that's what I think. I like Jim, and I want him to keep calling. Yeah, and expressing.
I want him to keep calling. I wait for his calls. But he knows what he's talking about and can paraphrase.
All right. Okay, Ed.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And, I guess there are different conflicts that we've been engaged in you can be a total pacifist and say all war is, I think we can all agree that all war is bad, but is some war necessary? Are some wars righteous wars? And I think Rich presented a good example of one. I mean, when the world is faces a threat like a Hitler, and a dual threat when you've got an expansionist and empirically minded country like Japan was at the time, we got to do something or this is going to spin out of control big time. But it's interesting. And then there are other conflicts that seem why are we doing this? Why is this happening? And we've been involved in those. And I think you look at Ukraine, that's one that I would say is, why is this happening? Why is this being perpetrated on this country, on this population? But real quick, let's go to Lou in Linden. Lou, you've got thoughts on how to prevent wars or questions about that?
Yes. So ways to prevent war can be seen if we study history. For example, when Hitler decided to test the British and the French by invading the Sudetenland, he gave his generals orders that if the French and British immediately mobilized or began to mobilize, that they were to withdraw the German troops back into Germany and not invade the Sudetenland. But as you know, the British and French did nothing. So that emboldened Hitler to think that he can just keep pushing and taking more and more. And then shortly thereafter, he invaded Poland and World War II was on. In the case of the Soviet Union, we never came to an all-out war. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we correctly armed and increased our ability to destroy the Soviet Union if they were to start a war. So they never did. They never launched nuclear weapons at Western Europe or us because they knew that they would be killed in a war with us. Mm-hmm. However, today we are facing a particularly dangerous enemy. And Machiavelli, the Italian philosopher, said, know your friends and keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. Know more about your enemies and what they think. And that's a very good lesson we have to keep in mind. For example, in dealing with Iran, Iran is different than the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, the Politburo never imagined that if they died fighting us in a war, they would be guaranteed 72 beautiful wives and eternal life in paradise. However, the mullahs of Iran actually believe that. They actually believe that if they start a war with us and then they die, they will be guaranteed 72 beautiful wives and eternal life in paradise. So this is a different paradigm we have to deal with.
Well, Islam isn't the only religion that believes in an afterlife. I don't know that the 72 wives is. Is that really a thing, or is that more of a? Has that become kind of an urban legend about Islam? I'd like to hear from a Muslim and find out what's the deal with this, the 72 virgins or what have you. I mean, where are all these virgins coming from in heaven?
It's ludicrous, but that's what Muhammad taught.
Okay.
Muhammad taught that.
All right, but I mean, do you think that believing, you know, Muslims that to this day and age that they have this unshakable belief in that?
Surveys taken, Joe. Right. Surveys taken in the Muslim world say about 90 million Muslims actually believe that literally. Okay. Not all of them, obviously, only about 90 million, but that's a lot of people.
Okay. All right. All right, Lou. I appreciate it. Thanks for your thoughts. And we'll take a quick break and be back with more. We got Tim, Glenn, Michelle, and we'll have time to squeeze your call in too here on KGMI Connects. Back in a moment.
Hey, it's Scott from Northwest Sleep Solutions in Fairhaven. Hey, you know, over the years, we've always said we have the best selection of mattresses in the area, and I believe we do, but I'm here today to talk a little bit about a new addition we're bringing in. About 10 years ago, we actually designed a bed for the wonderful Hotel Bellwether, great two-sided innerspring. People ask for those all the time, but we wanted to design something and see how well it held up. So 10 years later, they're still in great shape. We've updated a few things on them, and we are going to actually introduce them for the public. The nice thing is they will be about half the price of the two-sided all-latex beds that we carry, and something we will have on hand so we can still deliver for free in Whatcom County. And yes, we do still haul away your old bed for free. So come see us at Northwest Sleep Solutions on the corner of 10th and McKenzie in Fairhaven. Not the biggest, but the best.
Northwest Sleep Solutions, the solution for a good night's sleep.
You know those friends who say, stop by anytime, and you're like, you don't really mean that. Well, unlike those friends, Dewey Griffin Subaru's Express Certified Subaru Tire and Service Center means it. They're open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Stop by anytime you need an oil change or any other minor maintenance, and they'll take care of you. No appointment necessary, and you'll get a free car wash with your service. Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru Certified Tire and Service Center in Whatcom County.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. Did I just step into a Dreamliner?
Airport or Shuttle's new luxury motor coaches surprise even seasoned travelers.
Have to admit, I'm kind of blown away here.
Loads of legroom, LED ceiling lighting, tiered theater seating, and three-point seat belts. Save on fuel and parking. Enjoy a quieter, more productive, and swanky cool ride to SeatDeck Airport. Visit airporter.com, airporter.com, and ride today.
You need a job? Go to HireMeWad.com. HireMeWad.com is Cascade Radio Group's hyper-local job board. It's free and easy to use. Just go to HireMeWad.com for the latest job openings and offers. You can apply right there. HireMeWad.com is available 24 hours a day. Check back often. New jobs are posted frequently. Don't see what you want? Post your resume and let prospective employers find you. HireMeWad.com, the go-to job board for Northwest Washington. HireMeWA.com. Your new job awaits.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Good to have you with us here on this Monday. And real quick, let's go to Glenn in Bellingham. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Joe. How you doing? Okay?
Yeah, doing well, Glenn.
Okay, that's enough. Hey, listen, the program is damn good, but a little bit less of you commenting too long. The program is for call-ins. Get as many people as you can. Today has been a terrifically great program, a good variety of people, some a little bit too much. I think you got the message. I think you need a coach. I should be down there, and then I could raise my hand and say, okay, cut them off.
Okay.
I'll shut up now.
Thanks.
Hey, have a good day, but remember, let the customers call in. Bye-bye.
You got it. All right, Glenn. Thanks for your thoughts. And, yeah, you can be like at a candidate's debate. Hold up the sign. Okay, green. Okay, red. Stop. All right, let's go to Tim's been holding on. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, hey, Joe. I'll try to lighten it up a little bit, okay?
Okay, sure.
Several weeks ago, you guys were talking about parody songs.
Uh-huh.
And there's one I've been trying to find, and I thought it was pretty funny and pretty good taste. Do you remember the song? And I can't find it anywhere. I cannot find it. So if anybody knows where I can find it, let me know. But okay. Do you remember the song Jesse's Girl?
Jesse's Girl?
Rick Springfield?
Yeah.
And some guy did a song that instead of I Wish I Had Jesse's Girl, it was I Wish I Was Jesse's Girl.
Oh, I see. And it
was pretty funny, I got to tell you.
What was the gist of it? I mean, I wish I was Jesse's.
Yeah, he was a gay guy and
oh, okay.
And It was pretty funny.
Okay.
And the other song that I want to bring up, and this is Tim being Pollyanna instead of Joe being Pollyanna.
Okay.
I came out to the man cave, which is a travel trailer, and I was doing some cleaning up, and I turned on the over-the-air TV, and it was on MeTV. I think it was MeTV, and it went from MASH to All in the Family.
Uh-huh.
And do you remember that show at all?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you remember the opening song?
Oh, yeah. Songs that made the hit parade. Guys like us.
Girls and men were men.
Guys like us, we had it, mate.
Everybody carried their weight. No need for a welfare state.
Yeah,
$50 paid the rent, and I'm like, geez, those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah, but even then, you got to remember that was a I guess for the day, like a conservative's, you know, dream, you know, wish list or.
No, they had Meathead on there, though.
Well, yeah, but no, I'm talking about the song.
Yeah.
Those were the days, you know, everything was great because we didn't have any of this crazy liberal stuff going on that would make that would be the Meathead and all that stuff. So, all right. Yeah.
Stuff that would make
Archie pull his hair out.
I hope I put a little smile on your face.
Definitely. Thanks, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah, well, All in the Family was a great show. That, and you know, I mean, you think about how, you know, the show that it was when it aired, and there's really nothing like it on the air today, that's for sure. Nothing quite as nearly as edgy and really – you know, probing of social issues as that show. But let's go to our friend Michelle in Bellingham. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. You do not need a coach or any other person there. You do a fine job.
Oh, thank you.
It doesn't matter to me whether you agree with me or not. You're always fair, and you have to give each person a few minutes, and then you have to say that's enough for you, and you do a good job of that.
Oh, thanks.
I don't. I have to admit, I totally disagree with your caller, Ed. You know, I don't blame people for being conscientious objectors or whatever he considers himself to be. But when you have an existential threat to your existence, as we faced during World War II with the Nazis and the Japanese, and we had no choice but to kill, I don't know exactly how many civilians, but let's just say it was hundreds of thousands in both countries and, you know, and some of their allies. You know, we killed hundreds of thousands of civilians, and we really didn't have a choice. We had to do that because it was a matter of existential survival. Well, Israel is facing the same problem. Hamas, and for that matter, Hezbollah and the Houthis and the other groups that are proxies in of Iran, they are just as evil, just as perverted, just as much of a death cult as anybody in the Nazis were, or in the worst aspect of the Japanese military. And I'm just saying that Israel has no. Now it'd be great if Hamas is totally responsible for every Palestinian death, and that's okay, because they started a war that Israel had no choice but to finish. And Hamas uses, in its very cowardly way, they use civilians as basically as shields. And this is, you know, they are the most, Hamas and the other Iranian proxies and the Iranian mullahs, they're the most evil human beings on earth. And they need to be destroyed. Okay. Last night, or yesterday, when Israel was being attacked the other day, Israel would have lost, you know, probably at least hundreds of civilians if Israel and the United States, the United Kingdom, Jordan, and a few other allies didn't destroy 99% of the incoming missiles and drones.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is that Israel, you know, I stand totally with Israel because they have no choice. Now, it would be great. They're doing the best they can to avoid killing civilians, but it would be great.
We don't know what's going on there. I mean,
the Israelis have no desire. They have never in their history, in their 76-year history as a nation, they have never ever been the first to start a war or the first to kill civilians. They do not function that way. And the problem with many of the
But at the same time, I think you have to admit, though, that the Palestinians have not been they have not had I'm just talking about how they live day in and day out, the Palestinian population, that it's not, I mean, these, that by as a population, they suffer. They don't.
They live in poverty. I'm not going to argue that, Joe. And, but polls show that 75% of the Palestinians favor Hamas.
Well, because Hamas voted them in. Right.
They were in Gaza.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. I don't want to talk death toll. I appreciate your thoughts, Michelle, but. We're talking in more general terms about warfare and stuff. I don't know if I want to get into death cults and who should be killed and murdered and slaughtered. But I guess you know, when we're talking about these conflicts, that there's evil done on all sides certainly. And Hamas started this fight with their horrendous attack on October 7th, but. Israel has been basically, as I said at the beginning of the show, that they've been, at war, really in a covert way with Iran for years. And, Iran, obviously their leaders have expressed, hostility or, the desire to end Israel as a nation. I understand that. And Israel is in a unique position to feel like it's in an existential threat. It's surrounded by hostility. At the same time, it seems that this government especially could do more to alleviate the pressure and the maybe it's a pipe dream of mine, but it seems that Netanyahu is the last one that's ever expressed any desire to work toward peace or made efforts to work toward peace, to take the steps that it would take for the Palestinians to accept Israel. Those are my thoughts anyway. But they're not necessarily any more legitimate than yours. But sorry, Glenn, but I got to express myself sometimes at my show. But we'll continue our conversation tomorrow for sure, 4 o'clock right here on KGMI Connects. There's no easy way to wrap up a conversation about war, that's for sure. And whether it's necessary or not. I would say some wars, as Barack Obama said, sometimes war is necessary. And he took a beating for that from many. But I think it's hard to deny that sometimes war is necessary, but not always. And not all the time that we get involved in wars, but... We'll be back tomorrow, as I said, 4 o'clock. Hopefully you'll join us then, and we'll continue this conversation or start a new one here on KGMI Connects.